Welcome, everybody, to Dog Talk Live. Thank you for already checking in. I'm Rusty Mansell from Dogs HQ. And a few minutes late, we were taping something else for Dogs HQ and just finishing up that. But thank you for the guys that are already here. Comments are already here. People that are watching. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I want to start with two things. First off, thank you for last week. Obviously, I was battling through a little bit of sickness. Was trying to push through that last week, and man, once my throat got dry, it was almost not coming back. And my good buddy Jake Rowe here that helps produce this for me, got behind the scenes, jumped in and saved me. But as always, Dog Talk Live with Rusty Mansell is presented by Hotel Indigo in Athens. And I will tell you, thank you for everybody that showed up last Friday night at Hotel Indigo. I told you, if you come once and see it and kind of see, and we did a show out on the patio. We had a great time and got a chance to meet a lot of people. But again, could talk to you about Hotel Indigo a lot. I will say this. I didn't realize how many players' parents are at the Hotel Indigo. Ran into a lot of people. Talked with a lot of parents there, the lobby. I'll tell you this. Talking to the people at Hotel Indigo, they don't have any rooms left for Ole Miss. Now, what they do have a ticket package left. So if you're looking for great tickets for the Ole Miss game, you can email Jake Rowe right there. There's Jake Rowe's email. You can ask about the tickets they have left, but they don't have any rooms. Guys, I told you, you got to jump on this place. It was great. Fantastic environment. Great live music. Great bar. Man, it was packed. It was awesome. And we had a great time out on the patio. Jake and I went for about an hour. We will be back the Friday night before Ole Miss. And I am working. I hadn't told Jake this yet. I hadn't told the owners of Indigo yet. I'm working on a very special guest to stop in. And in that environment, it's always great to break the game down, but kind of tell some stories. We did some great behind-the-scenes stories. But again, a lot of you came. I met, and I'm sorry I don't remember your name. You came from New Jersey. You watch this on here. I met you. My gentleman from Warner Robins, our people from Somerville, South Carolina, all you people that have been watching on YouTube that had been to Hotel Indigo for the first time, thank you. Thank you for all the people that were there and got a chance to introduce. We had a great time, man. Look forward to seeing everybody there again Ole Miss weekend. But, guys, let's jump right into it. You can visit IndigoAthens.com, wedding venue. It's got it all, guys. And we'll talk more about Hotel Indigo before the night's over with. But let's break it. Let's get right down into it, man. Let's get in this Alabama game. And I know there's a lot to talk about. You know, Georgia loses 24-21. They have their 33-game home win streak snapped. And, you know, it's a tough loss. You see some of the stuff there floating through for Indigo. It's a tough loss, guys. You can't sugarcoat it. It's one of those games where, you know, I can't explain. And I get paid to give an opinion, okay? And that's what I do. And it's hard to explain how Georgia's 1-7. And I talked with Jake Rowe earlier today, and I want to make sure I'm right on some of these stats under Kirby Smart. And when you look at Kirby Smart and you look at the history, you look at Kirby Smart, Georgia under Kirby Smart, 9-0 versus Kentucky, 9-1 against Auburn, 8-0 against Missouri, 9-1 against Tennessee. The only time he's lost against Tennessee was a Hail Mary. It is what it is. South Carolina, 7-1. Had four turnovers in that game and lost in double overtime. Florida, 7-2. Vandy, 6-1. They lost that first year. 4-0 versus Mississippi State. 2-0 versus Arkansas. 2-1 against Tate. I can go on and on. Kirby Smart's 1-7. Georgia's 1-7 against Alabama. You know, and it, I think Mickey here says the hurt from that game was real. Yeah, it hurts. That's a game that I understand the scope. I understand everything in behind it. I know that Georgia fans want to win that game. I know the Georgia football players want to win that game. I know the Georgia team wants to win that game. I know Kirby Smart wants to win that game. It's not all about that game. It's really that series and how, you know, you need some momentum there and you got to beat that team. But what an environment, man. You see that environment. It was crazy. You know, and really, it was a great environment. The fans did their job. Athens was awesome all day long. Tailgating. We were there early. And I was out and about all day, got to tailgate with some, for a little while, with some really good people, some of our supporters. And it was great to see them and got a chance to meet a lot of you walking through the parking lot. But yeah, get your questions in. We're going to get to those, but I want to talk about what happened. And I'm going to start with the start of the game and defensively for Georgia. Two 14 play drives. And, you know, you think, how does that keep happening? You know, I mean, because if you really think about it, at two 14 play drives, which is unheard of against Georgia. My goodness, they went back to back 14 play drives. And, you know, really, Georgia didn't have an answer. Were they 9 for 9 on the first third downs? I mean, Ty Simpson, I say this, man, Ty Simpson was dialed in. I was impressed. I didn't realize his arm was that good, but I kept saying this on the game thread. I felt like Alabama offensively was one step ahead of Georgia early in the game. I felt like Ty Simpson knew where he wanted to go. At one point, he was 12 for 15 for like 100. And in the first quarter, he was 12 for 15 for 117 yards, something like that. It was nuts. I just think that and two touchdowns, too. I just think that, you know, that's a pattern for me. You worry about Georgia starting slow defensively and getting so far behind. You can't put yourself in that spot every time. And I know I'm interested in this week. I'm interested in how they change this week. But I'll say this, you know, I'm a realist, man. You got to credit Ty Simpson. He got rid of the ball. He made all the right throws. He throws the balls in some damn tight windows. Offensively for Georgia, you know, a start that, you know, didn't start great. And had a ball on the second drive that I thought Gunner threw a great ball. I mean, it was right over a linebacker's head and it hit Oscar Delp in the hands and he got hit. The ball got dislodged, you know, and you get used to somebody like Brock Bowers who makes that catch. And that was a tight window throw there. We're definitely going to talk about Chauncey Bowens in a minute. But, you know, I think let's get to the fourth down play. Let's get to the play with 13 minutes to go in the game. And Georgia never led in the game, had a chance to tie it up. I did not have a problem. I did not have a problem going for that right there. If you communicated and that's your philosophy and that's your conviction now, you got to call plays and you got to go. If Kirby Smart, and I obviously he did, tells Mike Bobo on third down, you got two plays here if we get anything. You got two plays if we get anything. I personally didn't understand why the play didn't get reviewed on Gunner. Now, I talked to Jake earlier today, Jake Rowe. Jake Rowe said he put it into I have to go back, but he put it into a screen where the yard markers were basically put up on the picture of it. And he said he felt like he thought Gunner was about a half a yard short, not a yard and a half short, but a half yard short. And you wonder if it's fourth and a 6 inches, what do they do there? Do they just quarterback power? Does Gunner keep that ball? You know, some of those things. I didn't like Cass Jones east-west. I didn't. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat. I didn't like that play particular east-west. Yes, if they block one player, that's a walk-in probably, okay? I've seen it. I know. And if Gunner keeps the ball on that play, he's definitely got the first down. I kind of relate that to the Georgia-Tennessee series. If you're a Tennessee fan, it's always recently, if we catch that ball, if we don't have that tip ball, or if we make that field goal, we win that game. And I feel like with Georgia and this Alabama, yes, you could talk about if Talon Taylor catches that ball. If Georgia gets it, what if Georgia ties it up right there? What happens then? You know, there were some plays in and out of there. If Zachariah Branch, you know, Jake Rowe did a good job. After Talon Taylor drops that ball, Georgia comes right back in and they run a freaking tunnel screen to Zachariah Branch. And I'm telling you right now, he scores. He scores from 40 out. There's nobody there. I would like a little more touch out of Gunner on that pass. But also, I think Zachariah, he's got to make that catch. And they've got it blocked. It's a great call. Bama blitzes two backers. The middle of the field's open. They got guys down the field. But that's what it is, guys. It's if this, if that, and if that. For whatever reason, this Alabama team owns this series. I don't think that Georgia panics in this situation. I think there's a lot of confidence on Alabama's side. I think that, you know, when things – they expect things to go right for them, and they have. And, you know, I'm watching the game behind me, and, you know, Nate Frazier has a fumble. It's a great job by the defense to hold that to three. So that was 9 minutes and 58 seconds to go in the second quarter. You're down 14-7. They got the ball on the 11, first down and go. Your defense holds, keeps that thing to 17-7. So, you know, there's one of these things here where with this series, they're not a dominant team over Georgia. They're not. They played Saturday night a much cleaner game. They played a much cleaner game. And little mistakes like this in a game like that cost you, and Georgia made some of those. But, you know, you look at this game in more detail in the running game. Chauncey Bowens, man, if you tell me Georgia's going to run for 227 and Chauncey Bowens is going to have whatever he had, 120, and, you know, Alabama only scores 24, or Alabama doesn't score in the second half, I'm betting everything I can get my hands on. I'm betting everything I can get my hands on. And, you know, it's one of those deals, man. You take the positives. I thought Jordan Hall – I've watched the defensive snaps a few plays ago. I thought Jordan Hall was freaking great at nose guard. He had four tackles, two solos, tackle. I think Jordan Hall played one of the best games that he's played. Man, they need him. Quintavious Johnson had to play 56 snaps. Can't play 56 snaps in this defense. Somebody else is going to have to help him. Elijah Griffin played pretty good. You know, Ellis Robinson really – and Ellis Robinson just made a play right there on 3rd and 5 at the goal line. He gets beat inside on the first drive. They didn't get his hands on anybody. Well, this drive, they come right back at him. Two drives later, he's got his hands all over Menard, knocks the ball down. So it's one of those deals where they got some guys that got to get some experience. The season's not over, guys. This Alabama series, hell yes, it hurts. Hell yes, you're not going to sugarcoat it. I get it. There was a lot of buildup this game. Georgia's found a lot of ways to lose this series. And they found a way again Saturday night. They just weren't unable to capitalize. But there's a lot left. There's a lot left for Georgia. Everything's in front of them. It's definitely week to week. It's definitely week to week. And, you know, it's one of those things. The positive, too, for me, I thought Juan Gaston came in, and I know he's banged up, but I know he missed a block or at the end could have missed a block on fourth down. I don't know exactly. Between two true freshmen, Juan Gaston and Dontrell Glover, two kids from Langston Hughes High School, or Westlake and Langston Hughes, two kids that were playing high school, you know, this time last year. And they're out there on fourth down against Alabama. I'm telling you, man, Georgia's got some in those two kids. And I'm telling you, Juan Gaston, I don't know about Ernest Green. I don't know about everybody else. But I'm telling you right now, for me, my opinion, it's going to be hard to knock 73 off that right tackle spot. I love him. I think he's got great future ahead of him. Guys, you watch the game. I don't want to beat a dead horse with it. Georgia lost 24-21. You know, season's not over. You got to rebound this week against Kentucky and get going. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. Sometimes, man, you got to credit some to Alabama too, and I did. I credit Ty Simpson. I thought Ty Simpson was really freaking good. Defensively, Alabama, I don't know how good they are, and I don't know if they can stop the run. I think Georgia showed Vanderbilt some things. Vanderbilt can run the freaking ball too now, and they got a quarterback that's got some you-know-what to him. We'll see. We'll see with that game. But I think that Georgia showed did some things. And I know I heard the comment about, you know, somebody on Alabama staff said that six plays gave up 139 yards or something because of bust. Georgia, their running backs made plays. They broke tackles and they got out to the edge because they were running with speed. And Chauncey Bowens was great. And even Nate Frazier had a couple of big runs before he had that fumble. So I really think that Georgia's got something in the run game. I've been really pleased with the run game for everything you've talked about. Offensively, I think the run game's really stepped up, and I'm super excited. Drew Bobo's playing well. Monroe Freeland's playing well. Micah Morris got hurt early, came back in and played. So I'm excited, man, there. Let's get to some questions. Guys, let's get to some questions, and we'll get them pop up on the screen here. I know you guys got a lot going on here, so let's get to some questions right here and see where we are tonight. Saw a lot of you last night. Saw a couple of my good buddies. I had to go to the fair last night, so I knocked that one out. I'm a people watcher and got a chance to do some people watching. Who starts at corner this week? Who gets the most reps? It's according, you know, kind of what was going on with Daniel Harris. You know, there, I don't know. Let me say this. I thought Ellis Robinson played a really good second half. And Jake Rowe, who's our guy that breaks down the tape, he really said, hey, he dug in. DeMello Jones, number 15, from Swainsboro, Georgia. I like what I saw out of 15. Guys, I watched him in high school. This dude can go now. And I kind of thought the future is DeMello Jones and Ellis Robinson after Dalen Everett leaves. And I still think Dalen Everett's our best corner. But I like what I saw of DeMello Jones, man. 15 made some plays. I'm interested. If you want to watch this week, don't put so much into who starts. Let's find out how much 15 plays this week, because that might be a telltale of what's going on there. Any chance some of the coach firing such Sam Pittman will try to beef up our whole line? Coach Pittman is not going to be coaching anytime soon. I got a chance to talk to him earlier this week. Great friend of mine. Love Coach to death. He's already at the lake, and he has earned a well-earned retirement. You never say never. But as of right now, I don't think Sam Pittman's going to coach again. Now, I know him enough to know that he's probably going to go visit some teams and hang out and see some stuff. And I know Kirby and Sam Pittman are really close. But I also know that Sam Pittman took his time on that lake house, and he's about to enjoy that pool with a super bad sound system in that thing. And, you know, look, it didn't work out for him. That was his dream job. But he did so much for Georgia. It was unbelievable how much he did for Georgia. And obviously, you know, people understand that. Such as Pittman, will Georgia try to beef up the O-line deal? Next question about the portal. I think Georgia's going to look hard at tackle. I really do, because the question is going to be, what does Monroe Freeland do? Does Monroe Freeland come back? And that's a guy that, you know, he's had a great year. We ain't talked about Monroe Freeland. You know why? Because he's doing his job at left tackle. Going to be some questions there. Does Drew Bobo come back? I would be shocked if Georgia doesn't do something in the portal offensive line wise, for sure. It's according how all the things go, but the way the portal is now, I would imagine that Georgia takes a look hard, especially at tackle. Got to have some tackle depth there too. Brandon Griffin there says, love Nate, but I don't think he gets to start for a while. You'd be interested this week, Brandon, as well. Again, guys, it's presented by Hotel Indigo in Athens. We'll talk a little more about Hotel Indigo toward the end. Brandon Griffin says, I love Nate, but I don't think he gets to start for a while. I want to see how they do this week with Nate. And listen, he's special. He's a really good player, but he's got a history right now. Putting the ball on the ground. And that's one thing with Georgia. It's just not like Kirby to play somebody like that right now. He set out the rest of the game. I don't think he came back on the field. So what did he do this week? How did he react? You know, and I don't expect anything other than Nate Frazier just to face it head on and try to get better. I love Josh McCrory. I'm watching him right now play on the screen behind me. And I think he's a hammer, man. I would love to have seen Josh McCray downhill on that play. Opponents are dominating our defense in the first quarter, apparently very predictable. When are our coaches going to learn how to win the first quarter? Well, you know, there is a pattern of getting behind, okay? And that's something that typically last year Georgia had a slow start offensively. It's just something, you know, what are you self-scouting? What are you seeing? What are you doing? You know, how are teams It's ironic. Georgia faces Alabama. Alabama has an off week. Georgia has an off week. Well, Georgia's going to play Auburn next week. Auburn's off this week. Ole Miss is off this week. Then they play Washington State. So they basically got 3 weeks to prepare for Georgia. So, yeah, they're going to have to, you know, if somebody gives you a new wrinkle, they're going to have to adjust a little earlier. And I know that's something that you just can't do it, man. You can't have slow starts like that. And I don't know why, but defensively you cannot have stuff like that. Rusty, it seems we teach our ends to contain and play the run, we don't seem to be teaching pass rush techniques. Can you speak on that? So Georgia gets negative recruited at their defensive end spots because people say, look, if you go to Georgia, all you're going to do is eat up space, set the edge, and somebody else behind you is going to make the tackles. And ultimately, you know, Damon Wilson wanted to just stand up. He didn't want to put his hand in the ground. He wanted to stand up and be an edge rusher. And that played a little bit into him leaving too. But on the other side of that, Georgia tells people, okay, Trayvon Walker had 9 sacks in 3 years. He went number one, okay? So it's production, you know, film over stats is kind of what they do. And you got to be tough to play that 3-4 in. I've heard Kirby Smart speak at a coaching clinic. He said the hardest thing to find in football is a guy that's 270 pounds that can rush the passer and play the edge in the 3-4. Those are the hardest guys to find. Now, can you win off the edge? That's where, you know, Quintavious Johnson, who played 56 snaps, he's tough as hell. This guy played high school quarterback at Mays. Okay, so he's still learning. Now, he's tough against the run, but where he's at right now, early on in his career at Georgia, he's not a great pass rusher. They're just going to have to work with him there. They're going to have to find a ways to get some pass rush. But they're teaching pass rush. At the end of the day, you got to do it yourself and get off blocks. They're trying to create with different things. So real interested in that. That's a great point, and I kind of want to give you an explanation on that. But they do get negative recruited saying if you go there, you're not going to get the stats. You're just going to eat blocks for the inside backers and for the Jalen Walkers and the Chris Coles and those guys coming off the edge. So they face a little bit of that, but they also they know how to deal with that and things they do. I want to see Gabe Harris. Gabe Harris has got to – he's got to show up for me. I think Gabe Harris is their big end. He's their Ty Ingram Dawkins, who had a hell of a year last year. If Ty Ingram Dawkins comes back this year, goodness gracious, that was the one Georgia needed. Georgia needed Ty Ingram Dawkins to come back. I bet you, in hindsight, he probably wishes he did. He was coming on, and he was that guy for Georgia. But Gabe Harris needs to be that guy. Gabe Harris needs to show up starting this week. I think he's got a lot of potential, and he fits perfect what they want to do there. What do you think the motions will be with that noon start on Saturday? I don't expect anything different. I mean, you know, fan base, it's not going to be a night game, but I mean, it's a home game and it's in Georgia and it's homecoming and people are going to be ready to roll. And but you don't have to get fake juice. You don't ever have to worry about the fake juice with a Kirby Smart team. They got after it, you know, yesterday, and physicality, you turn the switch and on the next game. But I can assure you this team will be ready to play come Saturday. And you only get so many. I know what I would say, guys. You only get so many of these. You only get so many Saturdays in Sanford Stadium. You work your tail off and you go through all this stuff as a Georgia Bulldog, and you work hard all season. You run those bleachers. You do all that to come out and play on Saturdays in an environment like that, for sure. I did not eat a corn dog, but man, I wanted to. You told me, you said we got to go in the corner. I did not eat a corn dog last night, but dang, they look good, man. I didn't have a funnel cake or a corn dog. What the hell is wrong with me, man? But I could smell it all night. And golly, I walked by that funnel cake booth. Thank God the line was too long. So good to see you last night, Sid. I appreciate your support, my man. Went to high school with Sid. Any insight to the lack of targets, tight ends after running back success, play action tight end seems to be right for the taking. I just watched a play just a second ago where Gunner basically bootlegs, rolls to the right. It's a three-layer route. It's the running back underneath. It's the tight end on a drag. And it's the wide receiver on a corner route. And I see Lawson Lucky come by on the drag, and he's open. And Gunner checked it down. I don't know why he did that there. Just one play. Georgia's got to get their tight ends involved. I'll say this, guys. number seven, number four are blocking their ass off. And it says a lot about those guys. They're not getting touches, and they've been used to getting touches. They have been used to getting touches. Do you know what Georgia's done with tight ends in the past? They got to find a way to get those guys involved. Again, now, he did hit Delp on a ball, which was a great pass on the second series in that sideline, and he got hit there at the end. But got to get those guys involved. But I want you to really, if you're the ones that watch tape, go back and watch those guys, man. They are blocking their ass off. Got a chance to see Oscar's family Friday night for a few minutes as they were checking in, and you know, they're excited about their son, excited about this year. And you know, even if he's not getting the touches, Oscar Delp, he loves it at Georgia, and those are the guys that you know, the kind of the guys that the glue of the team for sure. Yes. Pass rushers make some of the highest salaries in the NFL. Yeah. Does Georgia scale money by position? I would imagine that Georgia, it operates very much into the offensive lineman, quarterback, and you know, defensive ends. Yeah, for sure. Defensive player, defensive lineman, Elijah Griffin. You know, I would imagine that he's number one defensive lineman in America last year. You know, I was told that Gunner, you know, did his deal, and there was no, you know, dilly dallying around. Georgia offered him a number. He said, "That's good for me." You know, should you expect anything less with him? And then he gets a lot of off the field stuff. You look at Gunner. And that's the thing with Carson Beck. You go back in Carson Beck's year, you know, Carson Beck made a lot of money his last year at Georgia, but he made a lot of it also off the field too. He did a lot of stuff, and that's really one of the things, how you supplement that stuff. But I would imagine that Georgia has a lot tied up into their offensive line room, their defensive line room, and you know, some of those KJ Bolden, those guys. That's the way Kirby sells it. You come here, this is what you're going to make. If you start and produce, you're going to make as much as anybody in the country, period. Now, Georgia's not cheap with that. I mean, everybody's got, you know, money now. It's just how you're going to use it. I don't know where the cheap – Kirby's not going to pay a freshman more than he pays a starter. He's not. I would be shocked if he does. Now, he might in a rare circumstance. That's not how he's going to build his team. If you produce and you start, you're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. Sasha, thank you for the question. How are we getting Noah Thomas going? Damn, I'm with you. That's been one of the questions, and you really need to find a way to get it. You know, he came in, played some snaps the other night, had a penalty late, and I don't know. Listen, I promise you, I know some people. I feel good about my sources. A lot of you know me. I feel good about my sources. I promise you, in the month of August, Noah Thomas had a great fall camp. It's just not translating over to Saturdays right now. I'm not giving up on the kid. At some point, does he make that impact? Is he that guy? But, you know, Colby Young right now, to me, is the guy that I trust. Zachariah Branch, but Colby Young is the guy that I think is different. I think Colby Young, and he's still trying to – Dylan Bell – that was a great call by Bobo on that. Dylan Bell's been a little more. London Humphreys, obviously, in the Tennessee game, but still feel like they're still searching. So Kobe White got in and got some reps the other day, too. Caught a ball, you know, in that game. So I wonder if Sakobe White plays a little more. Yeah, Kobe Young. I agree with you, Bruce Taylor. He looks like a Sunday. Kobe Young looks like a Sunday player to me. I promise you, in person, he is a Sunday player. And when you go through something like Kobe Young went through, and you know, and have to face the fact you may never play football again, and then you go through the legal process and you're clear to play, and you got a different perspective on life. I can promise you that for sure. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the portal open up for 30 days if a coach leaves or gets fired regarding beefing up O-line? Yeah, but Georgia can't take any players right now. All that says is if the portal's over 30 days, you can put your intent that I'm going to go in the portal, but they can't take players right now. No, that'd be great if you could have a midseason pickup. So there's still some questions too on that window, that portal window. It looks like it's I think it's January 2nd through January 16th, which I'm still fine with, that 14 days. And what does that mean between January 2nd and January 16th? I tell you what it means. All you have to do is declare your intent. You don't have to make your decision right there. But if I'm Rusty Mansell and I'm a tight end at University of Nebraska and I go in and I fill my paperwork out, I'm going in the portal. I don't have to make my decision that time frame, but I have to get in that portal so you know as a staff what kids are in the portal and what's not. Not having that spring portal is massive. It's huge. You can build your team once you get in January, everybody in the country. So I really like that. What else we got here, guys? Do wins and losses, that's a great one, Sid. Do wins and losses affect recruiting much, very much, or is it really about the visit experience and money to some extent? Man, that's a great freaking question, man. I learned a long time ago that wins and losses play very little role in a recruit's decision. Now, they obviously pay attention. If you were to get ran out of the building, if Georgia would have gotten ran out of the building 38 to nothing, then that you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Here's what a recruit saw Saturday night. A freaking unbelievable environment. Rappers, NBA star Trey Young, Ant Edwards, Luke Bryan, stars all over the place. Great big-time environment. Fireworks, flyovers. Everything you can imagine. Georgia couldn't buy a better experience other than to win that game Saturday night. Also, prospects, you know, look, can I play there early? And they all that's important. And then you ask about the money question. So if I'm a 2027 prospect, I go there Saturday, and I like it, and I love Georgia, and I'm like, you know, privately, Georgia's number one for me. I'm going to take some visits. Well, at some point, you're going to have a conversation over NIL and rev share. You're going to have a conversation. What do y'all pay your rev share? You know, does your agent talk to him? So money comes into the question, but as far as wins and losses, not really. As long as you don't get ran out of a building. And sometimes I've seen Georgia tell prospects. I remember when Georgia got hammered in 2015 by Alabama. They were telling the prospects the next day that were there on officials, you think you can't play here? You think you can't play to Georgia? So you can always turn it, you know, a way or two. But great question. I appreciate that one, Sid. How solid is the O-line commitment we got this weekend? Yeah, Kelsey Adams. Kelsey Adams transferred from North Clayton. He's a big 6'5", 310-pound guy. He's a 2027. So he's a junior prospect. There's a long way to go there. And you ask, why did Georgia take him? Because he's a committable offer. And he's an in-state kid. You have better success on keeping the in-state prospects. So, yes, recruiting's not over for him. But it tells you that Georgia's way ahead. And he walked in there and told Kirby Smart, I want to commit. And damn right, he was going to take that. Kyson Mallard out of Albany Westover, big country. He committed 6'7", 320 pounds. What's the common denominator? Two in-state kids. So, yes, Georgia definitely will take a 6'7", 320-pounder and a 6'5", 310-pound offensive lineman. But, yeah, Langston Hughes, and they're good again, guys. If you get a chance to watch some high school football, watch Langston Hughes for sure. Brandon, yeah, I would imagine. I don't think. Listen, here's okay. Let me say this. That doesn't go on for surveillance device. It doesn't go on. Stealing signs. Yes, everybody tries that. Everybody tries that. So that's why you always see the TV copy, and you see the people holding the curtain behind the defense. You don't want to be able to put signals together with the play. So yeah, that is a real thing. Sign stealing. Some people are good at it. Some people are not. And you know, now with one person, two players, I think can have the call in there too. So you can make some calls that are not actually signaled. So CJ Allen can get part of the call. He can call on the field secondary and get their call. So, yeah, I don't think, but there's not, you know, hell, Michigan did it. So, but no, I'd be shocked with the other part. Felt like Noah could have gotten that play call. No. So let me be clear on that. Talon Taylor's faster than Noah Thomas. This is two different players. Talon Taylor is a guy that can freaking roll. Now, Talon Taylor got put in the game for that play. They were in cover two. He split the safeties, and that was going to him the entire time. Noah Thomas is a guy that plays out on the edge. He's a 6'6 receiver. He's a win that 50-50 ball. He's a big body guy. But Talon Taylor can freaking roll. And I hate it that he dropped it. I'm not going to take up for him because he's a freshman. But if you're going to be put in that spot, they trust you. You got to make that play. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to be really good at Georgia. He's going to be damn good at Georgia. And he was the first five-star wide receiver they have gotten since George Pickens to be a verbal commit and sign. So it's a tough one, man. You got to have that. I don't know why he jumped at it. I'm with some of y'all, man. We're going to change number 11 for a while. I mean, I'm fine with that for whatever reason. Yep. So, yeah. What we got here too? You think Gunner's more comfortable throwing to certain players, tried to force the ball those players? Yes, yeah, certainly you get trust in guys. You look at Kobe Young and those guys, he lives with Oscar Delp. So there's not a lack of trust there. I mean, those guys have been tight for years. He hit him a couple times in the Texas game and for whatever reason, I just don't know why the tight ends are part of it right now. You know, they are on the field. They're playing a lot of 12 personnel, a lot, running a lot out of that too. So, but yeah, certainly you get trust with people. Yeah, you do. And wide receiver quarterbacks do that. And that's just natural. So I don't know that he's forcing it there. But here's the thing about Gunner, and I'm not going to get all football nerdy and I'm not going to sit here and get the clicker out and all that. But in layman's terms, people are playing zone against Gunner. And until he makes you come out of a zone, you're going to see more zone. Tennessee went a heavy man with him, and it cost him. Because, number one, Gunner was able to use his legs when you run off coverage. He one-on-one battles, he's good. Gunner's got to get better against zone. You're going to see zone this weekend. Alabama went man a couple times. Kobe Young just torched his dude. It was an easy touchdown. They go right back in the zone. And, you know, when you do that two deep zone, you give up run yards because you take an extra guy out of the box. But to me, Alabama was almost like, okay, now they didn't think Georgia's going to run for 227 yards or whatever they ran. They didn't think that was going to happen. But I think Alabama said, we're willing to give up some yards. We want to see if y'all can drive at the length of the field on us. And I want to see what, how Georgia handles that this weekend. Cause I can tell you, Mark Stoops, they're going to play zone against Georgia. And Gunner's going to have to make some throws and some windows and make the right reads there and continue to get better. How are we looking in D-line recruiting? Well, you know, got some guys. You know, obviously the question is going to be on Seven Cloud. I think Seven Cloud's a guy that you really liked and got into some issues there at JUCO. And I don't know the situation there, but he was a guy that you felt like could be an instant impact guy. You go through the list. PJ Dean's a kid they beat South Carolina on. He's a 6'3", 255. Again, we talked about those 260-pound guys that play edge, big end, guys that can rush. PJ Dean. Valden Sohn is a guy that Georgia was not going to miss. Once Georgia lost James Johnson, decommitted and went to and left Georgia, Valden Sohn was a kid Georgia's not going to miss. And once they worked him out, that was a guy that they felt like they could not go without. So they got some guys there, still looking at some guys. Preston Carey, kid out of IMG, 6'5", 305 pounds. There's still some guy. Corey Howard's another. Look, what's Corey Howard? Corey Howard's 6'6", 260. You, guess what? One of those hard positions. They're trying to hold Alabama off from him. So, yeah, it's really one of those things. They got to finish this class off and add another D lineman, I think, in this class. I do think Georgia's going to be active in the defensive line portal. And I promise you right now, they're not going to be cheap. Defensive linemen are not cheap in the portal. And you get one that can play and he has a resume, it's going to cost you. And Georgia's going to know that going into it. Let's go about another 10 minutes, guys. It's going good. I'll give you another 10 because I cost you last week being sick. You know, I think, Daniel, great question. Hey, Russ, do you think our pass rush is what it is, or do you think we have the talent for Kirby to get it right? We have to be creative. I still think Elijah Griffin, guys. I tell you, man, Jordan Hall made me – because I was a huge Jordan Hall guy. For everybody that says, Rusty, you got Jalen Carter right from – I told everybody when I saw Jalen Carter in high school, I said that Jalen Carter would be the first guy drafted in that class, and I was damn sure right. I thought Jordan Hall was that guy too. I really did, and he just hasn't been. But I'm telling you, Jordan Hall played his tail off this week, and that promised me some things. Shows me a lot. I think Elijah Griffin's going to be that guy. Long way to go, man. A long way to go. But you know how they rack this week against a team they're better than. Georgia doesn't be fooling around with a damn 24-20 game in the fourth quarter Saturday. They need to come out and have a clean game. And they're almost a 3-touchdown favorite against Kentucky. And Kentucky's got a mess going on. And they just got run out of the building against South Carolina. You know, Georgia needs to find a way to jump on them and get some good reps out of this team. Scott McFarland, my man, says we have a chance to lose about 3 more games this year. Hell yeah, Georgia could lose 3 more games. It's a tough schedule. They could have lost 3 more last year. You know, you look at – dude, at Auburn ain't – listen, I picked Auburn to beat Georgia this year in my prediction. I did. I picked Georgia to lose at Auburn at night. That's going to be a tough game. And, you know, Jackson Arnold hasn't quite turned into the threat I thought he was going to be. But, again, they got a bye week. Jordan Hare is going to be unhinged next week. You know, they're good defensively. Auburn is freaking real deal defensively. Offensively, they are struggling. So that's another one. You got Ole Miss. Ole Miss is going to come in here top. Ole Miss is going to be in the top 3 or 4 teams in the country when they come in. They're going to be undefeated, and that's going to be a damn war. And then you got Texas. You know the Jacksonville game. And there's just a lot. And Georgia Tech. Hey, Georgia Tech at the end of the year. I don't even have to explain that. So yeah, they got a chance. Yep. I don't know where I would rank Gunner among the SEC quarterbacks yet. You know what's crazy? Think about this. Texas hadn't played an SEC game yet. Texas plays their first SEC game this week. So you start talking about Arch and all those guys. And, you know, Garrett Nussmeier, they're saying he's hurt. Listen, I had a former Georgia player. This is a guy that I've known a long time. And he played secondary for Georgia. He told me Sunday, he goes, Rusty, we might have played the best 2 quarterbacks in the SEC already. And I kind of was like, I don't know, you know, but that Ty Simpson and Joey Aguilar, they can spin it now. I don't know that yet. You know, with Sellers being banged up, I don't really know where he is. So, listen, there's still a lot left there. Gunner's got to get better. Gunner's got to get better. But I'm not giving up on Gunner. But it's this: when you face a major league pitcher and you get a scouting report, or you're a major league hitter and the word gets out on you, Gunner's facing zones. He's got to get better against zone defense. I think Gunner's got to use his legs, and he's going to have to run the ball more. I know he's – a couple times Saturday I felt like he should have just kept on running and picked up that extra 4 or 5 yards instead of trying to get one to a tight window. So we'll see as he goes forward with that. What we got here? Sasha asked a question. I'll get this. Coach Morris put a fence up around the state and keep our kids home. Sasha, 2 things about that. Number one, Georgia is now signing, I think, around 250 Division I football players a year. The state of Georgia is unbelievable. It is unbelievable how good it is. So, obviously, you can't go out and get these guys everywhere. I think Georgia recruits inside out. What does that mean? They look in the state of Georgia, and if they can't find what they're looking for, they go out and recruit national. That's one of the things with Georgia, their brand. But they're doing a good job. They're losing. They've lost some. They've lost some battles in state. They're going to lose some battles in state. Everybody freaking recruits the state. They just do. And, again, everybody has money. You got to make a decision on, you know, kind of who you're going to spend it on, who you're not. But there's got like Elijah Griffin and K.J. Bolden and C.J. Wiley last year. You look at Talon Taylor. He's from Illinois. Georgia held off Ole Miss. I don't think people realize that last 16, 18 hours, what was going on with that. That got real nervous with Ole Miss and Talon Taylor. They want to continue to get the best, and they're going to get the majority of it, but it's just hard to do in state. Georgia's a different state. Like Louisiana, there's not enough of those kids, and they do a great job of keeping the elite kids because there's not so many. But everybody recruits Georgia. You can fly that airport, and you can start dropping offers within 5 minutes to D1 players. Let's get two more, guys. Damn right, Bubby. Damn right. Starkville can be a real challenge. Hey, thank goodness that one's at noon. You know what I mean? And another one, Mississippi State, man, a lot better team. They got those fast wide receivers. Got Anthony Evans, former Georgia player there. I think somebody told me Mississippi State has three wide receivers that can run 10-4 or faster. Whew, that's a great point. Great point, Bubby. Don Cobb there, Rusty, did our blitz schemes look slow or miss time to you? Don, let me tell you what happened. Ty Simpson was getting the damn ball out of his hand. You know, just flat out getting the ball out of his hand. And I still, a couple times, I felt like they were one step ahead of Georgia, where Georgia was blitzing the corner off of this side. They you're taught to throw into the blitz. They were so far ahead of some of those blitzes, they were throwing to the left, and it was a perfect call. You know what I mean? Like, it's just hard. But Ty Simpson was getting the ball in his hands, guys. I'm interested in see how he plays against Vandy. Was that just something – was that a flash in the pan Saturday night, or did you see the real sample of Ty Simpson? Because he's got a great arm. Georgia got into him pretty good, moved him off his spot in the second half a little bit, but he was getting rid of the ball. Man, it's hard to get there. It is freaking hard to get there, man. What else we got here? Let's get two more in, Jake. Oh, perfect tailgate. What are you eating and drinking? Well, back in my tailgating days, now I can't really tailgate. I'll go by and see some people. What am I eating and drinking? Obviously, it's got to be something cold. Cold beverage. I'm good with cold beer or good mixed drink. I would say good barbecue. I would say good wings. You know, it's hard to, you know, transport wings and keep them hot, but, you know, good barbecue, something like that. I like good environment. You know me, man, good music, little Rusty Rocks, as long as we got good music, I can deal with a tailgate. Miss those days. We got some stuff coming. I'm going to tell you right now, don't tell Jake Rowe. He's on the other side of this. Georgia, Florida's in Atlanta next year, 2026. I'm going to throw a freaking tailgate. Jake Rowe's going to have to work that day. We're going to throw a tailgate. So, what Kirby says has got to get better. How possible is that week to week considering a difficult slate ahead? Oh, shoot, man. You get better by seeing what you did wrong. Game tape. You know, you get better as a team. Let me give you one last stat here if we leave. You look at Georgia in 2007, and everybody remembers absolutely throttling Hawaii. Here's a prime example of getting better. I went back and looked at this today. That year, game two, Georgia lost to South Carolina 16-12. They scored 12 points, lost to South Carolina. They go beat Alabama, one of the worst Alabama. Nick Saban's first year, they beat him 26-23 in overtime, the one-and-done Stafford throw. They go play Tennessee and get the brakes beat off of them, 35-14. Get the death beat out of them. They come back next week, go back to Nashville. They barely beat Vandy 20-17. That game was very close late. So let me look at this. Georgia scored 12, 26, 14, and 20. Okay? There they were, 3-2. And you're thinking, this season's done. They were the best team in America at the end of the year. They were the best team in the country. I don't care what anybody says. Had Georgia been in the playoff, they were the best team in America that year. They were the hottest team. They were rolling. Man, they started scoring 40, 44, 48, 41, 37, and then went to the Sugar Bowl and throttled Hawaii. That's how you get better. What those little things like that, whatever switch cut on with that team. And yeah, they had Matt Stafford and those guys, but they were not playing well at all. I mean, they were 3-2. And then the light cut on, and that team got a lot better as the year went on. So it's got to get going there. Look, guys, thank y'all so much. I want to say this again about Hotel Indigo. Stop by. You know, I know it's some parents' weekends this weekend. I know it's parents' weekends in January. I know there's a big concert coming up, huge concert. If you hadn't booked your room yet, book your room at Hotel Indigo. We will be back the night before Ole Miss, and we will be hanging out with everybody. We'll have another show. We'll have one in Texas, but they don't have any rooms Ole Miss weekend. They don't have any for Kentucky weekend for sure. Ole Miss, they're booked. They do have tickets. You can email Jake Rowe right there, and he'll get you in communication. They have some tickets left, man. I appreciate y'all, guys. Thank y'all for your support on this. This has been awesome. That's the fastest 50 minutes I think I've ever done anything, and I want to go a little extra tonight for you guys. But, again, presenting sponsor, Athens. Visit IndigoAthens.com. See you guys soon. Go Dogs. Let's get a W on Saturday. Tune in Dogs HQ. We got stuff all day long, and we'll be back with you guys later this week.